Blog Talk Radio.
Happy D-Day. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. You can't tell the players without a scorecard. And did you know that the word communist is coming back? Have you noticed that some of the braver talk show hosts are starting to use the word more fervently, where before they used to say a liberal, a left-winger, social progressive? They're getting a little gutsy and they're using the word a communist. Speaking of communists, I was told there was a big rally in a union hall yesterday in New York, and it was run by communists. And so apparently some of the unions are communist infected. And the participants were all known communist groups, communist front groups. You know, it's funny because the communist media has us watching the Nazis. You know, this Nazi and the death camps and that Nazi and this death camp, and the Nazis are very similar to Southerners. Yes, and those skinheads. Yes, those Nazis. So we're all watching out for Nazis, but the Nazis died in 1945, but communists live today. As a matter of fact, Obama has czars. Yeah, now, what do you think about that? In the meantime, we want to pay a tribute to our fallen GIs who gave up their young lives on June the 6th, 1945. And we're going to say a little prayer for them today and thank them for their sacrifice. And you know, some of those guys were as young as 16. They lied about their age to go serve their country. So around the year 2000, if they were 20 years old, they would be 74. So 74 and 13 is what? 87? That's what they are today. The communists can't wait till the last World War II vet is dead so they can rewrite history. And when you hear a communist saying we're the only nation that used the A-bomb, we were the only one that had it, and we saved a million lives, including Japanese lives. So don't let the communists fill you up with anti-American hatred, because whether you like it or not, you're an American. And one day, if we fall, nobody's going to take us in. I dedicate this next tune to all the POWs, to the MIAs, all those guys who languished in POW camps that were forgotten about, guys who died in Japanese death camps, and Americans who died in German death camps. So I'm going to play Abide With Me, because when you're stuck in a cage or in a hot box or you're hanging by your thumbs, Jane Fonda style, getting the Hanoi Jane workout, the only one that can give you any solace is our Lord and Savior. And if you look at the POW flag, the head is bowed on the POW. And POW to me also stands for prisoners of the womb. today. Its time is now 2:35. Planned Parenthood alone has killed its a portion of its quota for the day. It's killed over 2,000 American babies. They, by the time they finish work today, 3,000 American babies will be dead at Planned Parenthood. Dead. Tot. Muerte. Okay? Never to be seen again. Never even to have their names registered anywhere. And tomorrow, another 3,000 and go into the chop shops. So say a prayer for those POWs who are waiting on execution, those prisoners of the womb. Our next dedication is to a Marine who fought in Iwo Jima, and his name was Jack Birmingham, just an average American, fairly tall, over 6 foot, blonde hair, blue eyes, with a smile on his face all the time, and a real humble guy. He was happy sitting on a couch with a can of beer and letting other people talk about themselves. He had a wife, he had 3 kids, and a job.
and his wife passed away, and he raised his three kids, and he never married. He took the vow once, and I guess he retook it in heaven. And when you asked him about Iwo Jima, he would just, you know, politely say, yeah, it was, I was there. And he would go on to other things. And when he died, he ordered that after the funeral, that everybody went back to a local pub and had a few drinks on him. He bought the last round before he left. So we give him amazing grace. Give you a little American Elvis.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains, majesty above the fruited plain. God share his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of rain, for purple mountains, majesty above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and a crown tiger with brotherhood of sea, a shining sea. To that last part.
Notice how the communist media, especially the movies, how they portray a different people to divide the country. They always portray Southerners as a dumb, toothless, and incestuous. You ever notice that? They look down their noses at people that speak with a Southern accent. Well, a lot of those people with Southern accents fly the Confederate flag, but when the country calls to arms, they serve under the American flag. And God bless the Southland. One day there'll be a regulation that says the U.S. Marine Corps band can't play Dixie. I know that about maybe now 10 years ago, General MacArthur's wife, Dixie, was her favorite song, and the Salvation Army, a band, played it for her, and the communists jumped up. If you don't know who the communists are, it used to be the Democrat Party. And they jumped up and protested the tune. And the Salvation Army, of course, in order to keep peace, they backed down on it, changed the tune. But these are people who never served their country, but they know how to serve it up. So, thinking about the guys who sacrificed, I was watching some Black and Whites on the military channels, which they'll be banned one day also. They got chaplains now that can't say Jesus outside of a closet. And they were showing the beachheads at Normandy and at Saipan, at Tarawa. And as they scanned the shallow water going to the beach, you could see American bodies just bobbing up and down in the waves. That all those boys waiting for graves. And they did it for us. so we won't be slaves. But it looks like we're going back to slavery. This time it will be multicolored. So I dedicate the next tune to all the guys who gave all their tomorrows so that you and I could sit around and complain about secondhand smoke. Big advocate of bringing back the draft. And nobody likes to hear that because all the draft dodgers control the media. But I'm a big advocate of bringing back the draft. I believe that the reason that we're in such a pathetic state is that nobody has skin in the game. Less than 1% is all that defends this country. And they're the only ones that know the reality of war. And the rest of us, we sit around catching flies. So I do believe in universal service, and so did George Patton. And he was a man who commanded crack troops, and they weren't doing crack. So I'm going to play you Patton's speech, and then I'm going to set up for a tribute to the Navy SEALs who were killed in a phone-ahead ambush that was covered up in the press. By the way, Obama has lost 2,000 Americans in Afghanistan, and it's covered up in the press. You didn't know that figure, did you? Did you know about the 51 guys that got shot in the back? How about the one guy who had his throat cut while teaching Afghan kids how to play basketball? Yeah. How about Corporal Anzac, fished out of the Tigris River? with whip marks on his body. Now, you didn't hear about that, right? And you know what the media did? When Bush was in charge, every American that died made the paper, and his mother got 17 microphones in the face the very next morning. How do you feel about it now that your son died under Bush? But now we got 2,000 dead Americans in Afghanistan, and Obama lost them in 4 years. You know how many Bush lost in Afghanistan in 8 years? 461. And we got to do the runout yet. You think about that. And you know how they covered it up? The media covered it up for Obama? They classified him as NATO troops. 12 NATO troops died today. 15 NATO troops died tomorrow. Oh, boy, they must have a lot of funerals in Holland, huh? Yeah, they're all coming home. New York, New Jersey, Texas, Arkansas. Pick a state. They're all coming home. In flag-draped coffins that 48 senators voted to burn. To burn. 48 senators voted to burn. Check it out. Go to YouTube. Flag Burners of Record. Flag Burners of Record. Here's Patton's speech.
Hi, you boys and girls, it's Captain Boycott. I found this on the internet and I thought I'd share it with you. And then I'll tell you who wrote it. Twice in my lifetime, America, the arsenal of democracy, has come from behind to ensure victory. It is not evident that should another war arise, those producing it will make every effort to see that the arsenal of democracy is knocked out in the first round. How this can be done, I do not know. But I do know that the progress made in airplanes and self-propelled missiles is such that the possibility of an early knockout cannot be discounted. Perhaps a good illustration of what I am trying to put across to you is this. When I went to school, and I presume that is the same now, all of the children were taught how to form in column and march out of the building in an orderly manner in case of fire. This instruction did not, so far as I know, produce fires, but when fire occurred, the lives of the majority of children were saved. If we go to the extreme of saying that preparedness produces wars, then the instruction in fire drills would produce fires. Therefore, we should not teach children that a fire may come, that the building may burn, and as a result of such teaching, have the sad duty of removing the charred little bodies from the ruined schoolhouse. You men are all American citizens, and in your generation, you will have a very large voice in determining the election of our public servants and the enforcement of our laws. I am sure that you have found out that discipline, self-reliance, mutual respect, and faith are necessary in the Army. Those traits are just as necessary in civilian life. Laws which are not enforced had better not be promulgated. Referring again to the fire department aspect of the prevention of war, a very large proportion of the duties of the fire departments in large cities is not the extinguishing of fires, but their prevention through advice and supervision. You men are all potential firemen. You have put out the fire by your heroic efforts. It is now your duty as citizens to see that other fires do not occur, and that you and your children are not again called upon to extinguish them. I have been speaking to you not as your commanding general, but rather as an old man to young men. I am in no way trying to propagandize you, but as I said before, it is my considered opinion that my duty demands that I should explain to you things as I see them. Let me say that it is my profound hope that we shall never again be engaged in war, but also let me remind you of the words attributed to George Washington. In time of peace, prepare for war. That advice is still good. I am firmly convinced that we must have universal training, because the one hope for a peaceful world is a powerful America, with the adequate means of instantly checking aggressors. Unless we are so armed and prepared, the next war will probably destroy us. No one who has lived in a destroyed country can view such a possibility with anything except horror. Man is war, war is conflict, fighting is an elemental exposition of the age-old effort to survive. If we again believe that wars are over, we will surely have another, and damned quick. We had better look out for ourselves and make the rest of the world look out for themselves. If we attempt to feed the world, we will starve and perhaps destroy America. Roman civilization fell due to the loss of the will to conquer, satisfaction with the status quo and high taxes, which destroyed trade and private enterprise. These conditions eventually forced people out of the cities. The cycle is returning. It is very easy for ignorant people to think that success in war may be gained by the use of some wonderful invention like the atomic bomb, rather than by hard fighting and superior leadership. There are a host of people who have to squat to piss, who will say that this will be the last war, and that from now on we will only need world clubs. They are the ones who will be responsible for the deaths of millions of people. The pacifists are always at it. I met a visiting fireman of supposedly great eminence who told me that this was to be the last war. I told him that statements since 2600 BC had signed such statements. Since 2600 BC had signed the death warrants of millions of young men. He replied with the stock lie, "Oh, but things are different now. My God, will they never learn?" There are all kinds of low-class slime who are trying and will continue to try to wreck this country from the inside. Most of them don't know it, but they're actually working for the Russians. Some of them do know it, though, and it doesn't matter whether they call themselves communists, socialists, or just plain foolish liberals. They are destroying this country. Politicians are the lowest form of life on earth. Liberal Democrats are the lowest form of politicians. I really shudder for the future of our country. Someone must not only win the war, but also the peace. I believe that Germany should not be destroyed, but rather should be rebuilt as a buffer against the real danger, which is Russia and its Bolshevism. The difficulty in understanding the Russian is that we do not take cognizance of the fact that he is not a European, but an Asiatic, and therefore thinks deviously. We can no more understand a Russian than a Chinese or a Japanese, and from what I have seen of them, I have no particular desire to understand them, except to ascertain how much lead or iron it takes to kill them. In addition to his other amiable characteristics, the Russian has no regard for human life, and they are all out sons of bitches, barbarians, and chronic drunks. Russia knows what she wants, world domination, and she is laying her plans accordingly. We, on the other hand, in England and France, to a lesser extent, don't know what we want. We get less than nothing as a result. If we have to fight them, now is the time. From now on, we will get weaker and they will get stronger. Let's keep our boots polished, bayonets sharpened, and present a picture of force and strength to the Russians. This is the only language that they understand and respect. If we fail to do this, then I would like to say we have had victory over the Germans and have disarmed them, but we have lost the war. The one thing that I could not say and cannot yet say publicly is that my chief interest in establishing order in Germany was to prevent Germany from going communist. I am afraid that our foolish and utterly stupid policy in regard to Germany will certainly cause them to join the Russians and thereby ensure a communistic state throughout Western Europe. We have destroyed what could have been a good race of people, and we are about to replace them with Mongolian savages and all of Europe with communism. Poland is under Russian domination, so is Hungary, so is Czechoslovakia, and so is Yugoslavia, and we sit happily by and think that everybody loves us. It seems to me that Russia has a certain sphere of influence in Korea, Manchuria, and Mongolia. We promised the Europeans freedom. It would be worse than dishonorable not to see that they have it. And that's where I finished up. But you know what? You listen to what Patton says, and the enemy is only slightly different. And the day will come when the draft will have to come back if we have time to assemble. And I do believe his philosophy is right about the next great hit. And I think that when you look at 9-1-1, that was only two planes and that was only two buildings in one city. And God help us if that's 1,000 planes and 1,000 buildings and 100 cities. And anybody who thinks that they're immune because they don't live in New York City is also being very foolish. Talk to you, boys and girls.